Chapter 9. A block from the 49th Street beach, there was a rundown garage, the sort of place you only find in the worst section of big cities. The building consisted of corrugated metal on a steel frame, oxidizing in the rain and the mist rising off the lake, so that gobbets of rust ran down the walls in streaks and pooled on the sidewalks in uneven puddles. One side of the garage was a vacant lot, the other, what looked like sort of a pawn shop, where crooks traded in their spare guns and knives for a few extra dollars when things got tight. A faded sign hung askew over one of the garage doors, reading, "Full Moon Garage." I pulled the Beetle into the gravel parking lot and parked a few feet from the building. "Thank God it's not too obvious or anything," I muttered, and killed the engine. It died, with a new moaning note to its usual rattle. I got out of the car, squinted at the building and toward it. I didn't have my gun with me, but I did have my blasting rod, my shield bracelet, and a ring on my right hand, in which I had stored up about as much energy as someone twice my size could put into a solid punch. Gravel crunched under my shoes as I walked, and a rare autumn sunshine glared in my eyes and cast a long shadow behind me. I wasn't sure who to expect inside, if anyone. The people I'd seen with the dark-haired woman the night before, the rather nerdy bunch of young people clad in imitation biker leathers, didn't seem to be the sort of people to inspire fear in other criminal toughs, as the street wolves apparently had. Maybe there was a connection. Maybe the dark-haired woman from the last night was linked with the street wolves, somehow, as well as with the young people I'd seen. What had the stout young man Billy called them? The alphas. What then had the alphas been? Biker thugs in training? That sounded ridiculous, even to me. But what if those young people had been lycanthropes, like the ones Bob had told me about? What if they were being trained, somehow, as junior members of the street wolves until they could be brought in as full werewolves? Presuming the street wolves themselves were lycanthropes, or werewolves, that is. Sometimes a biker gang is just a biker gang. There might be no connection to the alphas at all. My head spun a little, trying to sort out the possibilities. All in all, it was far better to hope that the building was empty and that I wouldn't have to deal with anyone, werewolves or otherwise. I would much rather just poke around and find something incriminating inside, something I could bring back to Murphy and Denton that would point them in the correct direction. There was a regular door beside the pair of big, rolled-up garage doors. Both of them were closed. I tried the regular door, and it opened easily enough, so I went inside. There were no windows, and the only light in the garage fell onto it from an open door behind me. "Hello?" I called into the darkness. I tried to peer around, but saw nothing other than the dim shapes and outlines, what might have been a car with the hood up, a couple of those rolling tool cabinets. There was a dull reflection of glass windows off to one side, where there might have been an office. I stepped to one side of the doorway, squinting, and waited for my eyes to adjust. There was a quiet sound, a dull rustle of clothing. "Damn it." I reached a hand in my duster, wrapped my fingers around my blasting rod, and listened. I could hear the sound of breathing in the room, from multiple sources in a variety of directions. There was a scuffling sound, shoes on concrete floor. "I'm not a cop," I said into the darkness. I had a feeling that might be important for them to know. "My name is Harry Dresden. I just want to speak to the street wolves." The room dropped into dead silence. No moving, no breathing, nothing. I waited, tense and ready to run. "Take your hand out of your jacket," a male voice said, "and keep your hands where I can see them. We've heard of your kind, wizard. We've heard of you. You're with the cops." "You're late on the gossip," I said, wryly. "I'm playing doubles with Johnny Marconi now. Didn't you know?" There was a snort from the dark. "Like hell. That's just Marconi's story. We know the real deal with you, wizard." Christ. I wish the police were as savvy as these ne'er-do-wells. "I've heard a few things about you all, too," I said. "Not much of it's too friendly. Some of it might be considered a little weird." There was a rough laugh. "What do you think they say about you, Dresden? Get your hands where I can see them, now. There was the click-clack of a pump shotgun's action. I swallowed and took my hands slowly off my blasting rod, then held up both my hands innocuously out in front of me, palms up. I willed strength through my shield bracelet as I did, drawing its protective energies about me. All right, I said. Come up here where I can see you. You don't give the orders here, the male voice snarled. I do. I pressed my lips together and drew in a breath through my nose. I just want to talk to you. About what? Said the voice. I tried to come up with something believable, but I'm not much of a liar. So I told him the truth. Some dead people last month. More died last night. The voice didn't answer me for a moment. I licked my lips and kept going. There were fake wolf tracks around the murder scenes, and the feds think someone used a weapon lined with wolf teeth to tear the victims up. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you? There was a flurry of mutters around the room, low voices and hushed tones all around me, a dozen maybe, more. I got a sudden sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. If these people were the murderers, if they were responsible for last month's deaths, I was in big trouble. And if they were real werewolves, if they could shapeshift and come after me before I could clear out, I was as good as dead, shield bracelet or no. I choked down a surge of panic and forced myself not to turn and run for the door. Kill him, someone said from the darkness, off to my left, a female voice with a deep growling tone to it. There was an answering chorus of mewing sounds from the dark around me, repetitions of kill him, kill him, kill him. My eyes started to adjust to the lack of light. I could see them now, the shapes of people restlessly pacing. Their eyes glowed like dog's eyes in the glare of headlights. Both men and women moved around me, but I couldn't tell their ages. There were blankets and pillows made into pallets on the floor, thrown aside when their occupants had risen. The female voice I had heard was continuing to chant, kill him, kill him, kill him, while the others followed her lead. The air grew tight and heavy with a kind of energy I had never sensed before, a power that was gaining momentum as they chanted, a feral, raging current. Directly in front of me, not 15 feet away, stood the large shape of a man holding a shotgun. Stop it, he snarled, turning his head toward the others in the room. I could see his body responding as the energy grew, growing tenser, more ready. Fight it! Hold it in, damn it! You can't let it loose here. There'll be cops all over us. When his head turned, I darted for the doorway. I kept my left palm up and turned out toward the leader, the one with the shotgun, and held onto my shield as hard as I could.